wonderful time next week. We are baptizing. It's Mother's Day. And so if you're trying to figure out what to get your mother, and you're a believer and you haven't been baptized, let me suggest you get baptized for your mama. And that'll be great service. And you come, let me know this week that you plan to be baptized. Invite all your heathen friends. Let them come, see you baptized, and then take them out to eat after, and you'll do your good deed for the month. And that's a great way for you to witness to your family. And so we hope that you'll do that. I want to read to you a passage in Genesis chapter 32 that I think about quite often throughout the course of a year. It's a passage that speaks into my life on a regular basis, and I'm always astounded at the depths that I see in here, and so I'm always blessed by it, and perhaps it will be a blessing to you as well today. It's in Genesis chapter 32. It concerns a man named Jacob, who was the grandson of Father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Jacob was one of those sons. And so in chapter 32, verse 22, the Bible tells a significant event in his life. It says, "And he arose, so Jacob arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. And then Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' And he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is your name?' He said, 'Jacob.' He said, 'Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.' And then Jacob asked, saying, 'Well, tell me your name, I pray.' And he said, 'Why is it that you ask me my name?' And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place, the name of the place, Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip." Amen. This is a narrative, a crucial place in the life of a man named Jacob. And Jacob, I think, is important, and he's fun to preach from, because Jacob is really a man who was on an endless pursuit to find happiness and inner fulfillment in life. But for most of his life, he struck out in that pursuit. Jacob was a twin. He had an older brother by 5 minutes named Esau. His father was Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. And when Esau and Jacob were conceived, a prophecy came to Isaac saying, "The younger shall rule over the older." Usually in that day, the oldest son would be the head of the family, would be the heir to all the blessings of the covenant. And so that should have gone to Esau, but a prophecy again comes to Isaac saying, "Jacob will rule over Esau." But they're born. Esau's 5 minutes ahead of Jacob, and Jacob is named Jacob, which means the heel grabber. And I don't know if he literally had hold of Esau's ankle as they came out of the womb, but in spite of the prophecy that God gave to Isaac, Isaac favored Esau. He doted on Esau. He loved Esau more, and it was clear to Jacob that that was the case. Esau was a hunter. He was an outdoorsman. The Bible says that Jacob was a man of the tents, which simply means that he was a businessman. He worked in the tents. The tents was where business was conducted. And so this did something very tremendously damaging in the life and the heart of Jacob, as you might imagine, to be favored so much by your father, or to be disfavored by your father to such a degree, did something very serious in the heart of Jacob. And for 40 years of his life, you might say that it was a pursuit of happiness, a pursuit to fill the emptiness that was within him. He struggled to get his father's approval. That did not work. he ended up wrestling or fighting with Esau. Esau finally drives him out of the countryside when he finds out that Jacob tries to steal the blessing. More about that in just a minute. Jacob is in the pursuit of money. You might say that he's a greedy man, and so he's trying to fill the emptiness with money. He finally meets a woman named Rachel and says, wow, this is it. If I can just get Rachel, then I'll have the fulfillment that has escaped me my entire life. But when he marries Rachel, we find that that does not create the sense of fulfillment that he had hoped. And so his life, again, is a pursuit of inner fulfillment, of happiness, with parental approval, with finances, with romance, and even to some degree he tapers or tampers with religion because he has a religious experience along the way. And for a time you think, well, Jacob's going to follow the Lord. He makes a commitment to the Lord, but we find out that his religious experience really doesn't count for much. Now that's 8 chapters of the Bible I just gave you. Jacob again is driven out of the land by Esau. Now he's married. Now he's got 2 wives. It's been 20 years since he's been home. He's coming home and he finds out that Esau has 400 men and he's coming out to greet them. Know what that means? And he sends his family across the river and he stays at the brook in hopes, I think, of praying to God, saying, Lord, save me from Esau and his army that's out to kill me to get revenge for what I've done to him. And it says that he gets jumped by a man who starts wrestling him. Now, if I'm Jacob, I think Jacob must have thought, this is Esau. He jumped me. He snuck out and he got me. But the more he wrestles, the more he knows this isn't Esau. And what we find out is that it is God who has jumped him by the brook of Peniel. Because what it says is that the guy jumps him. He eventually just touches his hip and makes him lame. So this guy has tremendous power. And not only that, he renames him. And only God renames people in the Bible. But even more than that, Jacob interprets it as God because he says, I have seen the face of God and I've lived. Now, if you think about that, I hope that flies in the face of what you think about God right off. You say God's loving and kind. He would never jump somebody and beat the snot out of them, but Jacob would disagree. And here he is wrestling with Jacob. And I think the first thing that we see here is that God looks at Jacob and he wants to give Jacob a very visible message, which is, Jacob, your whole life you think you've been wrestling with Esau and your dad and your father-in-law, maybe even your mother-in-law, but Jacob, your whole life has been a wrestling match with me. See, that's the only way you can interpret this, because if God wanted to kill him, he could have just spoke him into the dust. If God can create the world with a word, he can destroy the world with a word. God doesn't have to wrestle him. Jacob can't keep up with God. So why does God wrestle him the whole night if it's not to drive home a message that, Jacob, you've been wrestling me your whole life. Your problem is not what you think your problem is, Jacob. You think it's Esau. It's not Esau. It's not your father. You've been wrestling me. See, listen to me. God is omnipotent. And what that means is that nothing can come into my life if God doesn't send it or allows it. If something came into my life that God did not send or allow, he wouldn't be all powerful, because there would be something that had come into my life that God could not have stopped, even though he wanted to. And so what has come into his life Oh, Jacob, what has come into your life? Who do you think allowed that to come into your life, Jacob? Who do you think allowed you to be driven out of the land, Jacob? Who do you think allowed you to be treated by Laban? Who do you think allowed all of that up to this point in your life? Maybe I didn't bring it into your life, but I could have stopped it, and I didn't. You've been wrestling with the one with the hand behind the hand, Jacob. And oftentimes in our life, we have to get to the place where we say, you know what? The thing I'm fighting, the struggle that I'm having is not what I see. There's a God that's been wrestling with me. I think I've been wrestling with family. I think I've been wrestling with a job situation. I think I've been wrestling with disadvantages that I believe I've had in life. But who let all that stuff happen in my life? Perhaps, I've been wrestling with the will of God in my life. Perhaps He's been trying to do something in my life, and that's what I've been fighting all alone. See, you see this here with Jacob. Because, again, God isn't wrestling with Jacob to beat him. God is wrestling with Jacob to change him. God isn't trying to beat him into the ground. God is trying to wrestle him to get him to see something so that he can be elevated. And you see that in the naming, don't you? Because he's wrestling with him. And God essentially, in my mind, he's got him in a headlock. And he's saying, what's your name, Jacob? You tell me your name, Jacob. And that's important for a couple of reasons. Because the first time that Jacob was asked his name in the Bible, he lied about it. You remember when he wants the blessing. Esau has the blessing. Esau's going to be the head of the family. Esau's going to be the first son. And Isaac is old. The father is old. And the mother comes to Jacob. Jacob is his mother's favorite and says, listen, you got to get the blessing. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to kill a goat. We're going to put hair on your neck. We're going to put hair on your arms because Esau's a hairy dude. And your dad can't see you too well. And the lights will be dim in the tent. And you bake him his favorite stew. You go in there and ask for the blessing. And that's what Isaac did. He's filling the neck. He's filling the arms. And he says, who are you? And Jacob says, I'm Isaac, your firstborn. The first time Jacob is asked who he is, he lies about it. And he receives the blessing. Isaac says, you'll be the firstborn. You'll be first in the family. But he had to lie to get it. And again, that's true of me and you, isn't it? That's one of the reasons why compliments don't thrill our heart like they should. The reason that people can bless us and love us and be kind to us and elevate us, but there's still an emptiness in our heart is because we know we had to lie to get the blessing. We know that what they're blessing is an image. It's not us. And that was true of Jacob. He got what he wanted, but it wasn't for him. He had to lie to get it. And that's, again, true of you and I. It's interesting on Facebook. I was just thinking about life in general, Facebook specifically. But how deeply we are inauthentic. And I'm not even sure we know how many masks we wear. I mean, you think about all those Easter pictures last week. I mean, I didn't see an Easter picture on Facebook in front of a dirty clothes hamper. I didn't see an Easter picture on Facebook in the playroom with all the toys that have been there since Monday. I didn't see an Easter picture on Facebook in front of a sink with dirty dishes in it. I mean, it's always in front of the fireplace or it's outside. And you know, one year One year, when we took our family picture, we could not get them all to look in the same direction and smile at the same time. So we had to have a friend transpose one of our kids' heads from a picture where she was smiling onto the picture that we kept. And it looks really strange. Her neck is about half the length that it should be. And I laugh at that picture all the time. But there we were trying to tell the world, we're a happy family. Some of you might have saw the picture we put on last week. We just were honest last week. Chad, did you get that up? There it is. That's our family at Easter. That's the best we can do. You see a cord hanging there? That goes up to the TV on the fireplace. We didn't even get that out of the way. Sam's mad because he wanted to stand and had to sit. That's it. That's it. Take that down now. You can take our humiliation down. But it's amazing how much we hide. I grew up around girls, and you hear women say, "Why can't I find an honest man? Why can't I find a man who's just authentic, who will be clean, who will just be honest?" And sometimes I look at that, and in my mind, I've never said it. But in my mind, I say, says the woman in 4-inch heels and dyed hair and makeup. I mean, I'm looking for an honest man, and I want to say, you're not that tall, you're not that blonde, and your skin's not that perfect. Why are you looking for an honest man? But it's who we are. It's the face that we're painting for the world. That's true in finances. Some of us will work a job we don't like so we can drive a car that's too expensive for us, just so people can think we're doing well. They don't know that the bank owns that car. And that plays into the church, doesn't it? I mean, people get dressed up. People look nice. People threaten their kids in the car so that when they show up at church, everything will appear nice and neat. And we know as well as anybody that that's not who we really are. That person we're presenting on Sunday morning is not who we are at work Monday through Friday. We wear these masks, but God has Jacob in a headlock. And he's saying, Jacob, what's your name? Tell me, Jacob, what is your name? Who are you, Jacob? Who really are you? What are you really about? Who are you? You're not Esau. Who are you, Jacob? You've been lying your whole life about who you are. Who are you? And Jacob has to say, I'm the heel grabber. I'm the wrestler. I'm the deceiver. I'm the one who's been grasping and fighting and deceiving my whole life. That's really who I am. You know what? God looks at him and says, all right, Jacob, since you told me who you are, I'm going to tell you who you will be. And you know what? There's something powerful. When you get to the place where you're willing to tell God who you are, he can declare a blessing in your life and tell you who you will be. But you got to be able to tell him who you are. You got to tell him, listen, I just don't like pretty women. I'm addicted to pornography. That's who I am. I've been lying to myself the whole time. I just don't like to drink. I'm a drunk. That's what I am. I just don't like a good time. I'm an addict. That's who I am. I just don't have a desire for justice and sometimes get angry, but I am a vengeful, vindictive person. The reason I don't have many friends in my life is because I fall out with them because there's something inside of me that's angry and mean. That's who I am. And you're going to have to come clean with God at some point if you're ever going to be blessed by God. John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all iniquity and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what confess means? It means homologia in the Greek, the same words. When you're willing to use the same words about yourself that God uses about you, something powerful will happen in your life. There can be a cleansing that comes into your life. There can be a fresh fresh start. There can be a new beginning. You can walk in one way and leave another way when you get to the place where you can say, this is who I am without the mask, God. I see it. You see it. I'll use the same words you use. I'll call myself what you call me. God looks at Jacob and says, all right, from now on, you'll be called Israel. You've admitted you've been Jacob. All right, I'm going to give you a new name. You'll be Israel, which means prevailed with God. You say, I want to change. I'm going to tell you how you can change. God can change you. God can deliver you. He can take all the blackness in your life. He can take all the misery in your life. And he can begin to revolutionize that. He can take all the bad and he can turn it for good. He can bring beauty for the ashes in your life. If you can admit who you are. If you can say, I'm Jacob. I'm Jacob. That's who I am. I've been grasping. I've been fighting. I've been addicted. I've been whatever. God can take that and he can say, all right. Since you're willing to say that, I'm going to tell you who you're going to be. You're going to be the one who prevailed with God. You're going to be the one who walks with God. You're going to be the God follower. I'm going to be with you every step of the way going forward. Listen to me. Inside of every Jacob is an Israel wanting to be renamed. Inside of every prodigal is somebody who needs to be welcomed into the family. Inside of everyone who's gone astray is somebody who the father is putting his arms out and saying, welcome home, my child. But you've got to admit who you are. You've got to admit who you are. You've got to be willing. Listen, you have to be willing to accept what God says about you. And if you'll accept what God says about you, he'll say, all right, now, you're not going to be Jacob anymore. You're not going to be Jacob anymore. That's who you are now. Let me tell you something. That's who you was. That's who you are confessing you were. I'm going to tell you something. That's who you were. Because from here on in, you'll be something new. You'll be something clean. You'll be something fresh. A lot of scholars point out that it's interesting that God wrestles with Jacob the night before he's to meet Esau. Why does God wrestle with Jacob here? It can't be a coincidence. He's coming back home. He has the greatest challenge of his life. He's finally going to have to pay for what he did, trying to steal Esau's blessing. And Esau's again coming with 400 men. Jacob is greatly outnumbered. Why does God come to Jacob then, right at that moment, right before he's to meet Esau? And I think it's for this reason. I think it's because he knew Jacob would meet Esau like Jacob. Jacob's a schemer. He's a trickster. And in Jacob's mind, he's trying to say, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to trick him? How am I going to sort of work this to my advantage? Well, how am I going to give a speech? Maybe I should cry. Maybe how am I going to trick Esau into not killing me? But God comes to him. And he says, no, I don't want you to face Esau like Jacob. I want you to face Esau as a new man, Israel. I don't want you to face Esau as a trickster. I want you to face Esau as a man who is one with God with all the confidence that God is right beside you. Don't go up against Esau tricking, using your own schemes, using your own wisdom, using your own abilities, using your own skill set. I want you to go up against Esau in the confidence that I am with you, that you walk with God, that you have prevailed with God, and if you have prevailed with God, you'll prevail with man. And why would God wrestle with you today? Why maybe in your life right now that does it seem like everything's falling apart? Why does it seem like you're being wrestled by some deity out there? Why does it seem like you're being pummeled? You're saying, God, why aren't you blessing me? It seems like I'm being pummeled. Maybe God is trying to say to you, listen, I'm trying to get you to a place where you'll admit what you are so that I can tell you what you will be. Because I see the future. I see what's out there in front of you. You're facing some mighty big enemies. You're going to be asked to climb some mighty big mountains here in the future. I see what's out there, and I'm trying to prepare you now to face what you'll face tomorrow. You don't want to face tomorrow as an addict. You don't want to face tomorrow as an angry person. You don't want to face tomorrow as a weak individual who can't say no to their own desires. There are some mountains out there, and I am trying to get you to the place where you will be cleansed so that you face those mountains having been prevailed with God by your side. Trying to bless you. Not trying to curse you. If I was trying to kill you, you'd be killed. If I was trying to destroy you, you'd be destroyed. I'm trying to bless you. And maybe today, that's where you are. Stand with me. Stand with me. Maybe today you have come into this place saying, I wish my life was different. I wish things were different. Listen to me. If you'll come honestly before God, things can be different. You can come into this place one way and leave another. Jacob went into that brook. He laid down beside that brook, one man. And in the morning, he got up an entirely different man. He was a schemer. He was a trickster. But when he walked out of that place, he walked out in the power of God. And you're facing some mountains in the future. Listen, there's some things coming in all of our lives. We don't want to face that without God. I don't want to face the next year without God, let alone the next 40 years without God. There's some mountains to climb. There's some battles to fight. And I don't want to do that in my strength. I don't want to do that as a Nathan. I want to do that as an Israel. I want to face the fights knowing that God is with me. And God is saying, Nathan, you can be. You be authentic with me. You be honest with me. And I'll bless your life. If you'll be honest and authentic with me, I'll cleanse you, and I'll be there when you need me, when the mountain comes, and you'll face it with a power you can't believe right now that you could have. God wants to bless somebody today. It feels like he's wrestling you. It feels like he's been pummeling you. But he's trying to bless you. He's not out to destroy you. He's out to cleanse you. He's out to rename you. Will you come today? You need him. Oh, God, let them know you need them. Let them know that they need you. Let them know that. Oh, Father, speak to somebody today. They need you. Somebody here is facing a mountain in the future. And you need God with you. You need to walk out of this place with God, and he's here. You come. You tell him who you are, and he'll cleanse you, and he'll tell you who you're going to be from here on out. He's just that kind of God. Let's sing together.